American Weekend. Carl, here's a fact for you that many may not appreciate about our economy, but family businesses generate more than 50% of the U.S. gross national product.
Yes.
And then in line of that, the question is there a new syndrome affecting our entire economy called the sticky baton syndrome? The gentleman who knows about that, as family businesses go, and also about that particular syndrome, is Henry Hutchinson. Sorry, Henry. He is the president of the Family Business USA and specializes in helping family and privately held businesses successfully manage transition, maintain harmony, and improve operations. His newest book is Dirty Little Secrets of Family Business. So welcome to Smith Sabatino, Henry.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're delighted. For those of us, what is this sticky baton syndrome? How would you define it?
The sticky baton syndrome is something that, you know, kind of folks in the industry like myself and folks who deal with family businesses have become aware of, and we've seen this trend going on. And to be honest with you, Price Waterhouse came out with a family business survey recently, and they coined the term. But basically what's going on is that, you know, it's always difficult to pass a family business on from one generation to the next. You know, over two-thirds fail. But a piece of it is that the current generation sometimes is reluctant or has trouble handing it over to the next generation despite the fact that they may be capable and so on and so forth. However, what's going on right now these days is that the folks who are running these family businesses right now are baby boomers. And baby boomers are folks like myself, maybe the two of you, who...
Oh, certainly us.
Yes.
We're older than that.
We're beyond that, right. It's the great generation. You know, we remember World War II. We remember hearing about the Great Depression. We believe in dedication. We believe in loyalty. We believe in hard work and so on and so forth. Now, I'm not saying the current generation doesn't, but they live in a whole new world with smartphones and computers and internet. And, you know, you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week because you have a computer in your hands, a lot of flexibility, so on and so forth. So what we're finding is that there's a much greater reluctance among current family business owners to relinquish control, leadership, and responsibility into the company because the generation gap is so big that they're holding on to that baton harder than they have in the past. And the next generation is trying to pull it away from them, but they can't get it.
Is this true also in corporate business, too? Corporate passing down?
You know, I think corporate passing down, when you say corporate, I'm going to call that public. Most family businesses are private, although I think 30% of the Fortune 500 companies are classified as family businesses with influence and so on and so forth in the family. But when you get, when you're publicly traded, you have a board of advisors, you have a board of directors, you have shareholders. It's difficult. It's not typically a family member who's running the business. They've typically moved up into the board, and they have influence at a board level. And they may bring in the next generation into the board and so on and so forth. That's typically what you see with the family businesses that are larger corporations. At a corporate level, no, not really.
Yeah, because what reminded me of that was because John Chambers just stepped aside at Cisco as a generational shift. I mean, he gave up control to a successor, a guy named Charles Robbins, 49 years old, you know?
Right.
Who has a totally different viewpoint, I would imagine, of where to take this company.
But I would imagine, I do not know, I've heard about that, but I would imagine that John's probably on the board. He's probably going to be an advisor. He's going to be around, and he's going to guide this thing. He's going to continue guiding it. But in the corporate world, interestingly, family businesses outperform non-family businesses on a number of metrics. And one of the reasons why is they have a long-term perspective, a long-term view, which they can have because there's long tenure. So whoever typically what you see, the turnover, I think the average turnover of a Fortune 500 CEO non-family business is like 5 years. But what you see in a family business is like 20. When I'm running a family business, hand it over to me, I may be there for 20 years before I hand it over to the next generation. Corporations are trying to emulate that. They're trying to get folks as young as they can get them that have a lot of potential so they can get that long-term thinking about where do we need to take Cisco. Well, let's take a 49-year-old, so he'll be here when he's 49, 59, 65, and then we'll get the benefit out of that. That's what the larger non-family business corporations are trying to do.
Mr. Hutchison, Carl Sabatino here. Pleasure. Listen, the question I have is quite specific. The future, where are we going? We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. What's the future holding for family-owned businesses, in your opinion?
Well, unfortunately, with the sticky baton syndrome, sticking with the theme, you know, the failure rate, over 75% of businesses in the United States are family-owned, run, or managed. That's a lot. That's a big number. A third of Fortune 500 companies, in addition to that. However, over two-thirds fail to get from one generation to the next. With this sticky baton syndrome, it looks like it's going to be a bumpier road, and it looks like that statistic will go up higher. When the current generation holds on too long, the next generation does not get enough responsibility, leadership opportunity to get their hands on the wheel to drive the business. So dad's still there when mom or dad are still there when they're 75 or 80 years old, and junior is young and getting older, but never got any real good leadership experience. Then the business hands over, and then you're going to have a failure because they just haven't had the experience of running a business. Running a business is hard, and it's very lonely.
Well, you also say in your book that there are some other issues, what you call dirty secrets. What does that mean?
Well, boy, with not much time, there's a litany of them. But let me give you one in particular.
All right.
We're talking about the sticky, but typically when you look at a family business, you think, hey, is the next generation there? Is it educated? Is it interested? Is it motivated? Is it capable? And can we get them there? Can we train them to take over this business? Let's say yes. Now it's a matter of can the current generation step aside and give them the room and kind of fade into the background a little bit. Doesn't mean not to leave, but fade into the background enough so that the reins and the movement and the leadership moves over. Let's say that's yes. However, one of the secrets of failures of family businesses is maybe I've got three kids, maybe they're all capable, they're all motivated, but can they work together? And if they can't work together, despite that they went to Wharton and Stanford and Harvard, the business will fail because of the discord amongst the siblings and the cousins and what have you in that next generation. A lot of people miss that part, and it's very important.
Well, indeed. With the time that we have left, Henry, how successful are generational transitions among family businesses, not the ones where that you know do not work?
Help me understand that a little bit better. Among family businesses, two-thirds fail.
Okay. Are there any ones that succeeded? And if so, why did they?
There are the ones that succeed. The ones that succeed start early, and they recognize that it's difficult to be in business with your relatives. They recognize it, and they recognize it early, and they have good communication about it.
Okay.
Dad comes in and says, hey, guys, we're a family business. It's tricky. I love you guys, but we need this business to run well, and we need to make sure we've got good and open communication as we go forward to make sure the business runs well. But let's all understand one thing. We all love each other, and let's keep it that way.
Boy, I like that admonition. That's wonderful. Henry Hutchison, thank you so much, president of the Family Business USA. His newest book is Dirty Little Secrets of Family Business, How to Successfully Navigate Family Business Conflict and Transition. And do you have a website?
We do. The book is Dirty Little Secrets of FamilyBusiness.com and FamilyBusinessUSA.com. And the book's available on Amazon.
Got it. Thank you very much for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Thank you, Mr. Hutchison.
Thank you so much.
Right. Bye.
Have a good day.
Well, I got to tell you, that's interesting. And we could do a whole series on that. But I think his point is well taken. There is a generational gap. And he did hit on it early on in our conversation with reference to this is a click-click, me now, real at hands generation,
mm-hmm.
and not understanding the difficulty it is and the tremendous amount of work it takes to run a business. I used to say that business is the politics of interpersonal relationships. And if you don't understand the politics of interpersonal relationships, you cannot run a business, in my opinion. And I think that holds true today more than ever before. You must understand other people, be able to work with other people, not necessarily like them all the time, but
you
keep your eye on the ball.
To listen.
Yeah, exactly.
And act and be responsible, but also willing to delegate.
There you go. And it's called letting go of the reins.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that's awful tough to do. Well, Roland, we let go of the reins right now. We have a break, don't we? Yes, we do.
We have a runaway horse.
Well, it keeps running on running. Call Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue on. Stay with us.
America Weekend. Think green. Harrison with you. When California made global headlines several years ago for a landmark law requiring a 25% cut in industrial greenhouse gases by 2020, critics assumed the worst. Though climate change in this country is still under some debate, two studies show these green laws are actually benefiting California's economy and public health. Economic analyses now show the regulations are increasing economic production by $27 billion, overall gross state product by $4 billion, and overall personal income by $14 billion. Further, under the California Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006, 300 premature deaths will be eliminated statewide, avoiding almost 9,000 incidents of asthma and avoiding 53,000 workdays lost to illness.
Think green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com. Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Heisman finalist obliterated the college record books in 1990, throwing for 5,100 yards and 54 touchdowns, more than his entire NFL career. So where is David Klinger now? David's pro career had few highlights, but it helped lead him to his life's path. During his NFL days, David was encouraged by his Bible class teacher to pursue a career in religious studies. David earned his PhD in Old Testament studies from the Dallas Theological Seminary, and in 2010 was named the director of its Houston campus.
Klinger zings it in the end zone, caught for the touchdown.
David Klinger, from play caller to true calling. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
Ex Machina is a smart, cool, stylish, great-looking movie. Hashtag sexy robot, the meat.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers, Age of Ultron. Now playing in theaters.